And welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show here on this, Tuesday night. And we have for our Phil TV and HD subscribers, who are backstage pass members, we have had serious technical outages tonight. We had an internet outage, and so our video cast is down for tonight. But we have threatened a number of people with excruciating agony. And, of course, I kid. But I don't kid because I love. See, that's what a lot of people...
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that now. I kid because I love.
Yeah, well, I don't kid because I love. I kid because I don't want to be...
angry.
Angry. There you go, bud. I kid because I don't want to lose my mind. Because if I lose my mind... why, then it's no fun anymore, is it? Life is just not fun. So what we have essentially is this, folks. The cable company is holding us hostage and making us pay. I mean,
you know, you better watch what you're saying because they're listening and...
and what? What is this all of a sudden? I got to be, you know, since when do we need to do anything more than pay our bill on time? I shouldn't even have to smile at them. I shouldn't even have to acknowledge them by name. I shouldn't even have to say, I shouldn't even have to acknowledge them. You know, if you want to get right down to it, the way this world works these days, pay your bill on time, that's all I should have to do. But nowadays, you know, everything is getting like a third world country, excuse me for saying, folks. But unless you've been to a third world country lately, what happens is essentially this. What would you like to have? Well, I think I'd like to buy some food. Okay, you want to buy some food. So now begins the negotiation. It's no longer just a price. It's your firstborn. It's, you know, a visa to land unscathed on the beaches someplace far away from the Border Patrol. It's this, it's that.
But that's all kind of racist, though, Mr. Henry, saying that.
Yeah, we're talking about third world country.
Oh, well, I'm just... what I'm saying is basically... maybe how it used to be. I'm just saying the way the currency of the world is, the currency of the world is not cut and dried. Americans, we're almost like a joke when we travel internationally because we think everything is the way it is here. We think it here, here's the money, I should get the service. No, it doesn't work like that at all. Sure, you paid me the money and you think you should get the service. You just paid me the money so that I'll listen to what it is that you want. And so things are... sort of getting like that. But in any event, I don't want to go on about this because it's not going to do me any good. But we have lost our internet connection this evening, and so we are at the bloody mercy of the cable company. Now, I had a very interesting conversation. For those of you who are interested in this kind of thing, and if you have a internet access, if you have a cable company that, if you'll pardon the expression, services you...
Why does everything have to be filthy?
It's not filthy. I'm just trying to say it.
Yeah, it's not filthy.
Margaret. You know,
no, I know it's not, but you go services you, so again the filth, again the filth. I said to Frank as I left the house today...
Look, can I...
No, hold on. I said to Frank as I left the house, I said, maybe tonight I won't immerse myself in filth. I won't come home stinking of it. As I come home every night from the show, stinking of the filth that you use to provide the material...
Yeah,
hold on. I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
The material of this show. And the stink that comes off of me. Frank holds his nose. My God, you smell like an open... you smell like an open grave, is what he says.
That's not very kind, Margaret. You know,
that's what he says. Because of the dirt and filth that I have to almost do an Australian crawl through here every night. And you did it again.
All right. All I did was I said, services you. I highlighted something. The point being that I'm sure a lot of you guys have these experiences from time to time. And so what we're going to be doing is sitting down and powwowing, much as Daniel Snyder will be doing with the heads of the National Football League, with members of the United Nation, with members of the American Indian Movement, with members of the Boy Scouts of America. Whoever's got a dog in this fight with the name of the Redskins, we will be powwowing with Time Warner. That's my way of segueing into our very first topic here this evening, Bud. And what is it?
Yeah, you got to talk about a Redskin name. And we'll be talking to Dave Oliver and Brass Phil and Wave about it. Brass Phil and Wave, he's going to represent the
Redskin name.
No, the opponent of it. And then, not Dave Oliver, Brass Phil and Wave.
Dave Oliver's not going to be on the show.
No, Dave is not going to be on the show. Why? Because they're Hispanic? You confuse them?
Yeah.
Well, at least you're honest, man.
Okay, yeah, at least you're right. Yes, he does confuse them because they're Hispanic.
Do you confuse white people that way?
Yeah.
Who do you confuse? What white people do you confuse?
I confuse you with Mr. Dozier.
Ow! That was pretty funny, though. You got to admit.
No, it wasn't.
All right, anyway, 855-500-7445, although I also see that our phone screening equipment is down. So this entire situation, and then I also got a word from our technical advisors and assistants and the inner chamber of high-tech cats that support this show, meaning basically my son. No, he said that there is the word from the internet company is that our line is degrading. We just spent a lot of money here at the Henry Broadcast Complex for a ISDN line, fully equalized, all kinds of stuff, man. I mean, we are right up to the minute, up to the second. And now the line's degrading. In other words, we've got we're on a grid that goes back to Thomas Edison. Is that what I'm talking to myself about?
Well, yeah, essentially you are talking to yourself about a lot of things, but yes, the grid, as I understand, it's the electrical grid, though.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the internet.
Yeah, well, the internet, what do you mean? If it goes back to Thomas Edison...
The internet doesn't go back to Thomas Edison. The internet goes back to...
Well, Al Gore, that's the joke, but really the internet goes back to the United States military somewhere in the 1960s and 70s.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, the United States military essentially invented the internet.
All right, well, okay, so that's not Thomas Edison, and we're not on that grid. But nonetheless, we are on some kind of a dilapidated grid that needs to be updated, and so we are going to, as I said, we're going to do that, or we're going to die trying. So good evening and welcome, and as I said, we're working kind of one-legged here tonight. I realize that's kind of crude and could be interpreted as a vulgar expression.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of one-legged.
Want to get Mr. Hall?
Just, if you don't mind, Phil.
You're going to get Mr. Hall for what?
Why are you getting upset?
What do you got to get Mr. Hall for?
Because of what was said. If you're talking about one-legged...
You know something? Yeah, I've told you a million times you don't go checking in with Mr. Hall on every little thing, okay? One-legged doesn't mean anything crude. Do you understand?
But it could.
No, oh, for God's... No, it could not. 8-5... It doesn't matter. I understand he's calling. There he is, right there. There's David. Just right on cue, man. You just do whatever you want, don't you, bud?
Got to lose my job on account of him? He's the guy paying a salary, not you.
You didn't have to let everybody know that. Yeah, David?
All right, so I got the word here that you're talking about a one-legged man. What is that?
No, I did not say that. I said that the show is on one leg tonight because of the loss of our internet... access.
I don't know. Did that happen? You don't have any internet?
No, we don't. Which is, by the way, a great argument in favor of the radio model. You know, the old terrestrial radio model still is a strong one, given the fact that we could be in the middle of an emergency, for instance, like an earthquake or a fire or something, and everything could go down, including all the internet and wireless internet, and what's left is the good old-fashioned radio signal. So,
well, and so there you go. And so if I were you, I would consider yourself lucky that you have at least that much access, while the average internet radio show is dependent upon these internet lines and so on and so forth. You know, it's like you were just saying about that the line degrading. I heard something about a line degrading.
Well, that's what they said.
Who?
The internet company, the cable company.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but the fact of the matter is, consider yourself lucky. There are a million guys out there, guys who are sitting at their little radio, at their little make-believe radio stations that are basically internet radio stations, and they're at the mercy of the internet service that they've got, or the Wi-Fi or whatever that is. You got a radio signal. You have radio stations. You're real. You're a real human being. The rest of them are make-believe.
So everybody that's got an internet station is make-believe, huh?
Absolutely. Now, I'm saying these things because I'm trying to keep talking. I know you're going to ask me about Daphne, who is sitting next to me, and yes, she's having some dinner, and yes, it's mostly carbohydrates and sugar. Does that answer your question about donuts? I hope so, because I'm not even going to listen to you.
David.
La, 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 la.
All right.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, you hung up.
Like I was going to give him a hard time about the girlfriend?
Well, you have. In the past, you have, and there's nothing to say that you wouldn't in the future. And so I think to offset that possibility, he simply said, I'm not going to allow you to talk about Daphne eating the donuts and the things
You talked about carbohydrate and sugar.
Yes.
Okay, well, then that's donuts. All right, so we got that out of the way. Coming back, we will have our discussions here on the Washington Redskin name and whether or not that's going to be changed to anything. It's going to be changed, at least, and I'm not saying that because that's my opinion. Everybody that I've been reading, anyone in the know in the world of sports, is fairly convinced that the name is going to change. It's just to what? That's the only question. There's just no doubt that the NFL is not going to be able to put up with, considering the fact that the National Football League has always been, I guess you could say they've always been sympathetic to the minority voice, given the fact that so many of their employees slash partners are African-American, Hispanic, and so on and so forth. So that is, as I say, that's probably a no-brainer. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. This song donated, dedicated to, well, this song donated by Daphne, David's girlfriend, and dedicated to, never mind.
What are you going to say?
Nothing. We'll be right back. World famous Phil, I butchered it, Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you really know how to...
One-legged man.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're happy to be with you here this evening. And just got an update today on our appearance at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. It will be in late January. I think the date is the 26th of January.
What about a Super Bowl and everything?
No. I'm way ahead of you on that one, man, because I asked for a date that would not fall anywhere near the football playoffs.
Well, what about the football bowl?
Yeah, talk about Super Bowl.
No. Super Bowl is in February, the first week in February, and I believe, I'm pretty sure, I pray to God, that the 26th of January falls in the midst of that two-week, period they take for the build-up to the Super Bowl.
What do you mean, build-up? What's that?
They have a... Robert.
Yeah, they take 2 weeks. See, they have the last game, and then the 2 weeks in the middle of that.
What?
Don't worry about it, Margaret. I got it under control, okay?
On the 26th, at what time?
8 o'clock. And where, when, and how, we'll let you know. The San Francisco Sketch Fest. What, Margaret?
I'm sorry. That's no comment on you, but I had to give that vent.
Thank you. Right in the middle of me.
It's nothing personal, Phil.
Yeah, you have to kind of live with it, Mr. Hall said.
Oh, Mr. Hall could stick it. What is it with you and Mr. Hall, okay?
No, Mr. Hall, the guy, he's paying his salary.
But if it's because David pays your salary, I'll start paying you. Then you do what I say. You understand?
Well, sure, yeah. That'd be great.
Okay, well, then we'll work that one out. Oh, brother. All right. Let me get on the phone here. Brass Villanueva is going to join us. Brass is aboard. Right now, he is aboard a private jet or a charter jet right now. He's on his way to Washington, D.C., where are you? I'm given to understand, Brass, you're going to be taking part in some high-level talks.
Not really going to be no high-level talks. What we've been talking about is going to Washington, D.C. and to try to be a part of the high-level talk. But we are flying on a privately owned jet. This is owned by Matt Cray, who has a record label, currently as an entrepreneur, and helps a lot of young hip-hop artists, a lot of young artists who are R&B hip-hop artists in Los Angeles area. And I want to thank Matt Cray for that. And for the opportunity to ride on his private jet here this evening. It's quite exciting.
Matt Cray is who?
You have not heard of him, but he has High Blue Records, which is...
I've heard of High Blue Records. It's an independent label.
Right. Who's the lady there?
This is Margaret.
Oh, Margaret, sorry. High Blue, they feature a lot of young, up-and-coming hip-hop artists. Very political, people who have something to say. They are not investing in a lot of the empty messaging that is currently vogue in hip-hop and R&B. They're not investing in pseudo-sexual politics or current R&B and hip-hop. They are investing in serious young rap artists and hip-hop artists. And Matt Cray, again, all respect to him for doing that.
Okay, so is he on board?
He is on board. There are a number of interested parties who are going to fly back to Washington, D.C. to be in a high-level talk.
Are you invited to these high-level talks, or are you guys just flying back there to see if you can Because that's what I think I heard you say, right?
Yeah, you're not been invited.
We have not been invited, but we're flying back to be available for high-level talks. I mean, we want to present ourselves at these National Football League meetings for high-level talks.
Are they in Washington?
My understanding is it's going to be in Washington, D.C., yes, sir, because that's where the Washington Redskins are located, so I don't see how it would make much sense for them to be anywhere else.
Well, the reason why I say that is because the National Football League is headquartered in New York City, and I think there's going to be other owners involved.
Well, they may be going to Washington, D.C. as a way of, you know, Muhammad going to the mountain, going to Muhammad. So I don't know how it goes.
They'll go to Washington, D.C., pay respect.
That's right. I can understand, try to give Daniel Snyder respect. But make no mistake about it, Mr. Henning, our feeling, Los Malos, and I'm sure the other people assembled on this aircraft here this evening as we wing our way to, back east, to let Daniel Snyder know and other members of the National Football League, we are not going to sit still for having people of color mocked, lampooned, turned into a cartoon character and a clown, look like a clown on the side of the helmet. We will not have that. We will not live with that. And so, for my purposes, and I'm not a big football fan, but I don't think you have to be a football fan to be invested in an issue like this.
I understand, and I agree with you. I've a lot of people, football being what it is, a lot of people would. It's almost like the old arguments they used to have about voting rights. You know, like what are all these Northerners coming down here? All these outsiders, and football fans, in a way. Are not the, I mean, I'm not going to say they're bigots or anything, but they're similar in the provincial attitude that or the territorial attitude that they have. Wait a second, here are a bunch of non-football people being involved in this debate. Have you run up against that?
Well, every now and again, you do. You know, you're talking to people. I'll say, this gentleman I said last night that the Washington Redskins, in my opinion, a racist symbol. And I said that I'm sure there are other examples of that in the National Football League. And I mentioned a Dallas Cowboy, which could be interpreted as a slam on black people.
The Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, that could be interpreted as a slam on black people because Cowboy originally was a boy, you know.
Yeah, that's not true exactly. I know a lot of people used to say that's not true exactly.
Well, I mean,
it was a time when people thought that, and point of fact, it probably was true. But cowboy goes back, as I mentioned on the show not too long ago, the term cowboy goes back to the Irish Americans that came over here during the 18th century.
Well, that sounds very convenient, Mr. Henry, but I think, again, I mean, I'm not going to get an argument or anything.
No, it's not convenient. It's actual history.
Well, I'm not going to get an argument or anything, but I think there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up in the National Football League. I'm not ready yet. The Kansas City Chiefs, someone said, that's racist.
I haven't heard anybody say the Chiefs is racist, but it could be. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean the Chiefs? I mean, they're not talking about no Indian. They just said chief.
Yeah, but they have on the side of the helmet, I understand, an arrowhead. So we'd have to look at all this stuff.
All right, we got Brassfield on the waiver with us. We're going to get Vernon Dozier on the line here, who represents quite obviously the interests, more traditional interests in the National Football League. Although Vernon is not a member of the National Football League, he is a former player, professional football player. And is a current coach at the high school level. And we welcome you. Vernon, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for inviting me on the program.
All right, now Vernon is an educator, Brass, and as such brings to the to this argument not just his experience as a football player, but also as a teacher.
I'm kind of going to ask you a question, if I could, Mr. Dozier.
You want to ask me a question?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
You played National Football League?
I did not play in the National Football League.
Well, Mr. Henry said you're a professional football player.
Hold on. I did not play in the National Football League, but I did play professional football.
Well, how's that possible?
Excuse me, young man, it's possible because I played in the Canadian Football League.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that. I'd love to look into that, if there's racism in the Canadian Football League.
Let me just say this. The Canadian Football League had black quarterbacks as a standard, as a regular feature of their offenses long before the National Football League did, so I think you'll find...
And how do they treat the native people up there? See, that's my whole...
How do they treat the what?
The native people.
Okay. Did I just hear the studio give me a high sign? Okay, what did you just say? Oh, thank you.
What's going on?
Nothing. Just hold on for a minute. All right. We're going to take a break here. Our number, 855-500-7445. I couldn't hear. I was in the middle of whatever it was I was in the middle of. So we have with us, what, Margaret?
Well, what are you getting all discombobulated for?
I'm not discombobulated. What? We have the worst connection back to the control room tonight. I can't hear anything anybody's saying on top of everything else. Why me, God? I know why, because I'm so bloody talented. God has to throw these things in my path. He has to throw these little cherry bombs in these potholes. He must slow me down. Otherwise, I will just blow past the competition. Yeah, sure. Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show here, and philhendryshow.com, and we do encourage you to get a backstage pass. Join us at philhendryshow.com. Now, tonight, we do not have our video cast. We've had a technical problem, so we do not have a video cast up for you tonight. We're going to have that solved by tomorrow, I guarantee that, and by way of just a kind of a makeup, we're going to have a video cast Saturday afternoon, so we'll have a weekend video cast for our BSPs. And tomorrow, we're going to just put a figurative gun to the head of the figurative people that they see. It's all very figurative. So there's no real...
Yes, just make sure you don't really...
I'm not threatening. I'm acting like any consumer that gets a little bugged when they don't have the service that they feel they so grandly deserve, as we do. All right, we have Brass Villanueva online. Mr. Villanueva is with us from a private aircraft that's winging its way to Washington, D.C. tonight. And he is with Mac Cray and other members of the High Blue Records company, as well as others interested in this issue. And we have online with us from Glendale, California, Coach Vernon Dozier as well. So, Coach, I don't know where we left off.
The young man here, Brass, you were asking me if I played pro football.
Yes, sir, that's right. Because you said that you have played pro ball in Canada, and I was not familiar with that.
Yeah, well, you're not familiar with it. Doesn't mean that it's not professional football. And the point that I was trying to make was that the Canadian Football League was a league that featured the African-American quarterback far earlier than the National Football League. Warren Moon is a classic example of that. Marlon Briscoe came out of the Canadian Football League. And there have been others. And as well as Hispanics, Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia was a white man, I thought.
Well, the Hispanics are white, aren't they?
See, that's the part I don't understand, because I am Hispanic, but I don't have a complete and clear picture because I had my culture beat out of me by the Anglo, so I don't know whether Hispanics are white or not, but I will say that Jeff Garcia looked like a white man to me.
Jeff Garcia is with the Garcia, that, you know, isn't that a Hispanic name?
Yeah, well, that could be that he had a father that was also half white.
All right, well, let's not get into a whole... I think Vernon's point is well made. The Canadian Football League offered opportunity to minority players when the NFL was still closed to them. I think that is a fair assessment. Vernon, what do you think of the...
Whoa. Are you going... Is he going to get to comment on all this, Manny?
Yeah.
Why can't I comment?
Well, I want to make my point, too.
But you've already made your point.
You just made your point. I'm bringing Mr. Dozier on here to make his.
Wow. Okay. What do you mean by wow?
Well, I just thought that I'd get a little bit more time. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, if it's
yeah. Go on, Coach. I mean, I don't know what you weren't able to say that we didn't give you the opportunity to say. You're talking about being on board that jet.
I'm talking about Matt Cray and High Blue Records, along with other interested parties, members of a minority community, are going to Washington D.C. because we want to have our voices heard on this topic, but I didn't tell you what my voice is on this topic.
Well, I'm assuming you're against the Redskin name.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm very much against the Redskin name. I wanted to get that out, and I don't think I was able to get that out.
I've sort of understood that because I was brought on to be the countering voice to that.
Oh, okay. All right. So you disagree?
Yes, I very much do disagree.
Really? Woo! Well, that's going to take a pair. But,
why don't you just go ahead, Coach, and Brass, let's let him have his say.
Thank you, Phil. I feel that the Washington Redskin name is a name that needs to be maintained because of the tradition. Now, I understand that there is a question as to the what some call the racist nature of red skin. In the 19th century, when the European was expanding, moving, if you will, the pioneer army outposts, traders, and so forth, toward the western prairies and on out to the Pacific coast, naturally they were encountering the Native American.
What was that?
Not nothing, but are you going to be taking a long time doing this?
Hey, Brass, don't be rude. I mean, let the man say what the man wants to say.
I didn't take all this time, though, doing mine. He's taking all this time talking about all kinds of history and everything. I felt that it would be only right. Am I allowed to take another run at mine?
Can you take another run at mine? Let me just say something here. You know, you had your chance. Now I'm having my chance.
I know, but Phil's asked me all about the jet that I'm on, and who am I with? Am I drinking champagne? Want to know if I'm popping bottles up here? All I'm trying to say.
I didn't ask you about popping bottles or anything else. You're telling me you're flying on a jet, you're going to Washington, and all of that nice stuff. You could have told me all about your philosophy on a Redskin name, but you didn't. So now we have Coach Dozier, and he's going to tell us what he thinks. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, sure. I don't care. Go ahead.
Well, that's what you said the last time.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead, man. I'm going to give me another drink. Hey, you, give me another drink.
Who are you talking to, anyway?
I'm talking to you.
No, I mean Brass. Who are you talking to?
Well, I'm talking to this girl here. Give me another drink. That's all.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
Like you guys would treat a woman any better if you were up here and see what I got to see and the things that I'm looking at.
Look, you can do what you want. I mean, I'm down here and I'm just trying to get something said that I need to say. And that is that I think the Redskin name is perfectly traditional and perfectly acceptable and should be allowed to stay within the fabric, if you will, the cultural, the interior familial fabric of the National Football League. That's all I wanted to say. You can pop bottles, and you can talk to women any way you want, and you can fly on your private jet. I'm down here. You know, I'm down here. I'm sitting on a recliner that is 10 years out of date. I had a very young wife about 5 years ago. She ain't so young anymore. A lot of people say it's because of living with me. I doubt that. So
what I'm getting is you don't have a very good life.
No, I don't have a very good life. I don't have a very good life. You have it all. I have nothing. So why don't you let me hold on to my tradition, let me hold on to my football, let me hold on to my...
penis?
You know what, I don't need to... You could...
Okay, we just lost that call. That was the most immature thing I think I've ever heard anyone say, Brass, on this program.
Well, sir, you know what? He teed it up.
I don't care if he teed it up. This is not a show where, if we're having a debate, some guy is waiting for another guy to tee one up.
Yeah, he teed it up.
Forget about whether he teed it up.
The guy said to me, I got to hold on. All I'm trying to do is hold on, hold on, hold on. And it's the third beat. He said, I'm holding on my tradition. I'm holding. Now here comes beat number three. Hold on.
What do you mean beat number three? What is this, comedy school? You had a philosophy about whether or not there should be the Redskin name, and he had his, and he was giving his opinion after you'd given yours. And you've been butting in and talking about popping bottles.
All I said was, I told a young lady I want a drink. And this guy got all upset about it.
Well, you know, it was a rude... It sounded like you were being rude to somebody. Maybe we shouldn't have commented, but the fact is he did. So you got to just blown it off, let him say what he wants to say. Of course he's going to hang up. I don't blame him for hanging up. Coach Dozier, if you'd like to come on and have your own airtime here without Mr.
My name is Villanueva. See, there you go right there, white man. You cannot get a man that...
I thought your name was Valenzuela.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It ain't Richie Valens, it ain't Richie Valenzuela, not Fernando Valenzuela. My name is Brass Villanueva, and I'm with Los Mars, and when we get to Washington, D.C., I'm going to tell Daniel Snyder that the name Redskin is racist, and that they should change the name to something more acceptable.
Like what?
I don't know, sir. That's up to them.
All right. Well, Brass, thank you very much. And if we need you again in the program, we'll give you a call. But I would just hasten to caution you to be a little bit more respectful with people and not be waiting for somebody to, quote, tee one up.
I was not waiting for it.
Yeah, no. I understand. But you know, you couldn't miss a great opportunity, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Brass Villanueva. What?
Well, I think you're a little bit rough on him. I think he has the winning point. Now, if Vernon Dozier is too much of a baby, to stay on the line and debate that man, even though he said what he said, then it's Vernon's loss. Because I'll tell you this much. The Redskin name, just as you said, Phil, is going. It's gone. It's forever and a day gone. Daniel Snyder, I'm very surprised for a, excuse me for saying, for a Jewish man.
Whoa, hold on for a minute, will you? How do you know he's Jewish?
Well, I'm making an assumption.
Well, before you make those assumptions, let's say he is Jewish. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, I think it has an awful lot to do with it if he's Jewish. I think he would be more sensitive to the feelings. I'm married to a Jewish man, so don't you dare call me insensitive. Daniel Snyder is the one that's insensitive, being maybe Jewish.
Yeah, being maybe Jewish, he is.
Being maybe Jewish. I didn't even know that there was such a category. Being maybe Jewish. So those of you that are Jewish out there, and those of you that are maybe Jewish, get it together a little bit and see where do you stand on this whole Redskin thing. Maybe that's what they ought to call him. The Washington maybe Jewish.
Well, I...
You're bored of maybe Jews.
No, I would... Well, if that's what you're suggesting...
No, I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is that we get everybody's ethnicity out of this and talk about it from the standpoint of the Native Americans that brought this issue to the fore in the first place, because I remember when this debate first came around back in the early 90s, I was living in Atlanta at the time, and that's when they had the Braves. I've told the story, and they were doing the tomahawk chop. Oh, the whole thing was a big story down there, man. The tomahawk chop was pissing people off. The Blue Jays, when they played the Atlanta Braves in the World Series, the Blue Jays mocked it. When the Blue Jays won the final game to take the World Series from the Atlanta Braves, they mocked the Atlanta Braves' tomahawk chop walking off the field. Or should I say, running and dancing and singing and celebrating off the field. So
I take it you do agree with those of us who are on the right side of this issue.
Yeah, but just give me a break with the whole, you know, holier than thou. And maybe Jewish. We'll be right back here in a world famous... I don't know, folks. I mean, this is it's a very, very bizarre, in my opinion, very, very bizarre way of putting things. Oh, Daniel Snyder's Jewish.
Well, why don't you look it up?
Okay, I will. Why don't you look it up? It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back, 855-500-7445. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley's podcast, as you know, has dropped in several different episodes. We're having actually a difficult time. What do we call it? Bobby is going to be in studio tomorrow talking with Dana Gould, as well as the Sklar Brothers. And she also has a daily podcast where she just holds forth on a variety of topics and issues. Tonight she's being feted at Ted's of Beverly Hills. They're having a dinner for her. And Margaret's rolling her eyes right now.
Well, I'm rolling my eyes because it's just, you know, it's a podcast. Give me a break, you know.
Well, all right, let's get Bobby. Bobby, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, Phil. And Margaret, I'm sorry that you're not here. We would have invited you, but we knew that you were working.
Well, that's all right, dear. And, you know, I don't wish you ill, but they're having a big dinner for you. That's...
Yes, they're having a dinner for me because of our podcast and everything like that. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, dear, but a podcast is not... It's not radio, it's not movies, it's not television, it's a podcast.
I'd like to just mention that Mark Maron got a television show out of his podcast.
Well...
No, not well, nothing. He did, so there are, I think, opportunities. I don't have the media connections that you have.
Well, what is it that you're trying to do?
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to ask the questions here. Do you mind?
I just want to ask, what are you trying to do?
What we'd really want to do is get a reality show, and we do have some interest from, I mentioned from Bernine Sluvin of the Wing Channel there on Mainstream TV.
Well, that is a startup operation. You think you're really going to get some traction with a bunch of stumble bums like that?
Whoa, man, are you're calling people names? I mean, why are you calling them names?
Because I think the people that run Mainstream TV are a pack of stumble bums, and I think if you fall in with them, Bobby, I think you'll be lucky if you get out of there with a pair of underwear on. I think you're going to be running into the streets screaming, holding your hand over your crotch.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
What does that mean?
It means exactly what it's... I'm speaking figuratively.
You're saying that figuratively? They're going to strip her down.
I think.
God, you sound like you have Tourette's. You know, Margaret?
Never mind. Screw it. I don't care what they do to you. All right, you're on your own.
Well, no, Margaret, come on.
No, she's on her own.
All right, I'm on my own. Fine. I mean, I'm having a conversation with the people at Wing TV over at Mainstream TV, and if there's something there, there's something there. But if you say to me that figuratively I'll be running...
Hold on, just a moment. There, that's really my opinion of you and your efforts in television.
And you think that that's mature.
It is. I belch because I have to, and I directed that one at her. What are you asking?
You think that's mature?
Yes, I think it's mature. I think it's a very good statement on what she's trying to do.
Well, you're mocking what I'm trying to do, or you're trying to give me advice, or what?
I tried to give you advice. You wouldn't take it. So I've belched at you as an exclamation point to my frustration.
Oh, what a load.
I'm sorry?
I said, what a load, a load. You're full of it. You're full of it. And you can make it anything you want it to be.
Well, in my world, it is only one thing, and it's something that... My God, I am so angry.
Just take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy.
Oh, let me finish the sentence. It is something that drops from a cow's ass. There, are you happy?
My God, what a pig.
Are you happy? That's what you were going
to
say.
All right, let's get it right off of Margaret and you, and let's get back to your efforts here at podcasting as well as the reality TV show, Bobby. Tell me about the reality show, because you just indicated to Margaret that that's really what your aim is.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for getting my focus away from very, very negative. I don't like negative energy, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, I know.
You know, I just don't... I don't like negative energy in Kang. Okay?
No, I understand.
Would you not do that, please?
Margaret, be quiet.
She's going, nay. I hate it. God, I hate you.
Well, you can hate me if you want, but... You know something? There's someone here who's being interviewed for her podcast, and there's someone who's jealous and angry, and I think Y-O-U spells you. Okay?
Oh!
All right, okay. Thank you very much, Bobby. Now, getting back to your reality show.
Yes, my reality show, what we're trying to pitch, and I've had pitch meetings all week.
God.
What is your problem?
Oh, pitch meetings. You're so Hollywood.
Okay, Margaret, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Fine. I'd rather be sitting on a toilet squeezing one off than...
Oh, boy.
She calls me a pig.
All right, okay, let's get back to your reality show. You've been in pitch meetings.
Yes, I've been in pitch meetings.
Big deal.
All week long, and I've talked to a lot of people. Buzz Hurdon over at Gone TV. Liza Wilson, she's at Mittens TV. And the guys at ESPN. Everybody. We've talked to everyone. And so far, I haven't heard the magic words. And the magic words are preemptive offer. Preemptive offer, Phil, is what they offer you when it's going to be... How's it go, Steve?
Yeah, preemptive offer is when they offer you money that no one else will go near. They don't want to come near you.
Yeah, that when they offer you something that makes everyone else not want to go near you. And so that's what a preemptive offer is. Those are the magic words. We haven't heard them yet.
All right, well, you're looking for enough money whereby someone's going to get the deal and no one can come near it. And I wonder if that is a realistic expectation, given your relative lack of experience in the television field.
Well, I think, Phil, with the response, and tomorrow we will have Dana Gould, we will have the Sklar Brothers, which will be obviously aired at a later date. We're going to go in and going to record it, and I know you're going to be there. But we've had some wonderful guests, and on account of a lot of our very personal, up-close-and-personal podcast, like, did you hear the one the other night where I slapped Steve? I slapped him.
Yeah, I heard all about that.
Yeah, she slapped me on the face because I was asking impertinent questions.
Because he was bothering me. Now, I didn't really want to slap him, but it got a lot of mail, and so...
So what, are you going to slap him again?
No, I'm not going to slap him again, but I'm saying that what you want me to?
No, I don't. Not at all. I was extremely uncomfortable. I found that to be... I didn't like it at all. I didn't want to listen to your podcast after that.
Well, you're in the media, so you're weird.
Yeah, you're different, Mr. Andrew. You're not typical.
Like right there. He just said something. There, I slapped him in the face.
How do I know you slapped him in the face?
He did.
You don't believe me?
Well, I mean, how do I know you slapped him in the face and not on the arm?
What's
this? No, it's in there, see?
He's blubbering like a baby. He's blubbering like a baby.
Is he really?
Yes.
No, I'm not. I'm kidding.
You're an ass.
Ow! God!
All right, thank you very much.
You know, you'd screw up a wet...
All right, so what is that about?
What did I tell you, Phil?
She's not slapping him down. Steve, if you think you're going to get more people download a podcast, she's going to be dreaming in a whole other reality, man.
Well, the Bobby Dooley podcast each and every day drops, if you'll pardon the expression, on the Sideshow Network as well as on our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as any number of other places. And again, she is going to be amping up and ramping up and all that other stuff, the interviews. With Dana Gould tomorrow and the Sklar Brothers. World famous Phil Henry Show here, philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with another hour or two of the festivities. Working kind of blind tonight, no internet access, but hey, we don't need you, Time Warner, baby. We don't need you at all, man. We got our own thing here, you know.
Yeah,
got our own thing here. I don't need you. Be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in the air.
Famous Phil Henry Show, another hour of great radio, another hour of cutting edge, really strange, and most likely kind of radio that is going to provoke somebody somewhere to want me arrested, you know, if not deported, but to where and how. We have with us here Jack Armstrong this hour, and he's going to be talking about the U.S. spy program and the spy programs of our so-called allies. You know, that's a good question when it comes to the spy program, something that we've been talking about on this show, and that is, you know, who's spying on who? And when America is once again singled out because we're dumb, because we're, well, because we have the focus of the whole world, and somebody somewhere is looking always to pull Uncle Sam's pants down, what's that mean for everybody else? The French, the Germans, and so forth. Jack Armstrong joining us from the Twin Cities tonight, Minneapolis, St. Paul. He's at Main Street Billiards there in St. Paul, which I seem to remember visiting a few times. Jack, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
Tell me about the blog you wrote here. You have a blog called Me and My Thoughts, Making Sense Out of the Nonsensical When It Comes to U.S. Foreign Policy. What sense are you making out of this Spygate thing?
Well, you know, I haven't heard it called Spygate, but I guess it was only a matter of time before it's going to be called that. It seems that if there's no creative thinking that goes into these different, I don't even want to call them a scandal, because I don't think it is a scandal. I think it's a scandal maybe if you're a conservative or you just got the Obama disease, which basically means every time you hear the name Obama, you want to you are programmed to say something bad, you know. But let me just tell you something about this. First of all, there's no way that the European powers that you just mentioned right there, Phil, no way in hell that the European powers is not involved in spying on America and doing all of the things that they say that, you know, that America was doing to them. So that's number one. Number two, it really begs imagination that there would be envy by an H.G. Wells or maybe even a Stephen King to have the gall to act all indignant that the phone's getting hacked of an Angela Merkel, let's say, when the French and the British routinely hack into the phones of American leaders.
Now, you just to interrupt you, how do you know that?
Well, I mean, it stands to reason, you know, it stands to reason that if they're getting paranoid about the phone of Angela Merkel getting hacked into or what have you, that they're going to want to, that they're already doing it to Obama, you know? Stands to reason.
But if it may stand to reason, but that doesn't actually prove anything, does it?
Come on, Phil, come on. It stands to reason if they're upset about Angela Merkel. And the other thing that I don't understand, why would the French and the Italians, the Swedes, the Russians, whoever, what have you, why did they care about Merkel getting her cell phone hacked into? Let me tell you something, Phil. In the years that I've been doing political reporting, there's not too many world leaders in the world who are less interesting and more boring to eavesdrop on than the leaders of Germany. Ever since World War II, the leaders of Germany have kept it squeaky clean, my friend. They keep it on the they may keep it on the down low, but what's down low, it ain't diddly, you know. And that's what we used to say that at political reporting. Whatever's down low in Germany, man, it who cares, you know? They got nothing to say over there. There's nothing juicy. If you're looking for something juicy, you know, you can go ahead and you can hack into a French guy. The guy Sarkozy was the most interesting, you know.
Okay, all of this is very interesting, but, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But, you know, okay, so they're boring and whatever. We did get caught. We are the ones that were caught. And so our dirty laundry is being aired, you know, and how we do things is being looked at. I mean, we can argue all we want about how everybody else is doing it. And I know I've made that argument, but it's frankly, we're the big boy on the block. We're the big fish. People are always looking to knock the biggest guy down. You know, the analogy to the New York Yankees has been made and elsewhere. So how are you really going to get anybody interested in whether the Germans are hacking into people's phones? Like, who cares? You talk about who cares.
Well, I mean, when you say who cares, I care. I mean, I would care. That's why I made the point about Angela Merkel, you know?
But I'm saying if the United States is doing it, that represents, and I think it's a fair assessment, it represents a far greater threat to a country's security than if Germany is, don't you think?
What do you mean by threat? Now, this is America. We don't... You better... If there's somebody going to hack your phone, you better hope it's America and it's not the Chinese or Iran.
No. Not, what I'm saying is America is a more formidable entity to hit. Even as nice a bunch of guys as we are in comparison to the rest of the world, even though there are those that would say that we're the world's greatest terrorist, I don't believe that.
Well, you know, there might have been a time, but I don't think today, not with the Barack Obama as the president of the United States, is that true.
Hold on. I mean, that's fine. I don't want to do a campaign pitch necessarily, even though I know the president's not running, but I don't want to be partisan. What I'm trying to say is that America, right or wrong, some people look at us, and because we are the big boy, that we just represent a much more formidable entity to have this information go freely into the midst of, whether or not, who cares what we're going to do with it, you know?
Well, I mean, look, if I'm Angela Merkel and I look down at my phone one fine spring day and I realize, oh my God, you see, you're Angela Merkel, and you go, oh my God, my phone got hacked, and it's America that did the hacking, I'm going to feel a little bit better about that, and I don't think I'm going to go running around like a chicken with my head cut off, screaming and crying, and banging on windows, and trying to pry open doors of meetings, and try to get into, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to have a you-know-what fit. If I look and I say it's Iran, I'm going to be upset. Now, I'm going to turn around and say this to you, Phil. I don't care if it's Iran. I don't care if it's China. I don't care if it's Russia or any of the traditional entities that you and I may think is the bad guys on the block. But if you're hacking Angela Merkel's phone, you must really need the entertainment bad, because there's nothing there. I don't care what the Iranians are going to be hacking into.
Well, how do you know that, man? I mean, look, Germany is privy to America's intelligence because we are NATO partners. So whatever is threatening Europe, if the United States knows something about it, they're going to get that intelligence.
Well, how do you know that? You know,
how do I know that? It's a treaty that we have to share this, especially in this post-9/11 age. The United States cannot risk holding back vital intelligence only to see something happen that that may be absolutely earth-shattering, and then it comes out later that we're holding back on intelligence. It's just not a, it's not an intelligent thing to do.
Well, you know, so, okay, you just said it. America's got, what's Germany got to say about anything? Germany, I don't think they got enough, they couldn't tell us enough to bet the fifth race, you know, at Hollywood Park. I don't think they've got a good tip on a harness race, you know? I mean, so what is it you're trying to say to me? Are you trying to say to me that...
What I'm saying to you is the... And if you disagree, that's fine, and we can move on to another topic here, Jack. We're talking to Jack Armstrong, the author of Me and Myself.
No, it's not called Me and...
Okay, I'm sorry. What's the name of your blog? Hold on. I've got it right here, and forgive me.
It's called My Thoughts and Me.
My Thoughts and Me, a political blog that seeks to make sense out of the nonsensical when it comes to U.S. foreign policy. All right, we're going to be right back, because I know you've been in touch with a German diplomat.
I've got some contacts that I was going to tell you about, but, you know, I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, we're interested. We're going to be right back here with Jack Armstrong as he talks about the intelligence thing, you know, this intelligence scandal, is that what it is? Or the intelligence imbroglio, is that what it is? Or is it a contretemps? Is it an imbroglio?
What's that?
Never mind. It's, you know, is it a controversy?
Well, it is a controversy. I would say that it is a... It depends on your point of view.
Very good. All right, we'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil. So it depends on your point of view as to whether or not, you know, this controversy is a controversy that is a controversy. I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Sorry, Margaret. We were going to cue up the House of the Rising Sun.
Well, what happened?
Somehow it got uncued, so I know that you are going to be doing a benefit on Saturday night.
Well, it's a benefit of a different... We're going to sing House of the Rising Sun because it's a wonderful traditional blues, folk blues, or folk rock, or alternative folk rock, if you will, about women who have been forced to live as prostitutes. And this will be a benefit not for women that are living as prostitutes, because that's a problem that I think right now is one that needs more, I think, a more social application, law enforcement, as well as sociological application, not benefit concerts. Excuse me. You can look at me all you want, Phil.
Well, it just ruins everything you're trying to say when you belch like that.
I'm sorry. But this is a benefit for... It's a look back. It's a benefit for me. Not money, but a look back on my life and what I've been forced to live through.
Did you have to be a prostitute?
No, I did not have to be a prostitute. I wouldn't put it that way. In fact, I don't want to say anything more. But House of the Rising Sun is my song. So...
Are you going to be playing or singing it Saturday night?
I am going to sing it Saturday night, but I do want to give people a taste of it here.
Okay, next break?
Whatever.
Okay, but right, I'm sorry, Margaret, but right now we have Jack Armstrong on the line from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. His blog, which I'm sorry, Jack, I got wrong, is called My Thoughts and Me, a political blog that seeks to make sense out of the nonsensical of American foreign policy. All right, so a lot of conversations we're having here about, but really the bottom line is, are the Europeans spying on us?
Yes, they're spying on us. There's no question that they're spying on us. Anyone who doesn't think that the Europeans are spying on us is a naive little tiny child. You have to be a little teeny baby not to understand that this is the way of the world. This is a grown-up thing. You know, if you're grown up and you live in a real world and you live in the world of grown-ups, then you got to understand how the world of grown-ups works, you know? And
it's a grown-up thing.
Yeah, it's a grown-up. You can be a smart-ass if you want to. And
all right, hold on, bud. Just take it easy.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to tell you something here, okay?
Yeah, I know. You're all talking about grown-up.
Hey, let me tell you what, man. It is a grown-up thing, okay?
No, you're right. You're right. It's a grown-up world, and if we're all grown-ups, then we understand that the espionage, spying, happens everywhere and that our allies are spying on us. However, it does make for a rather weak argument when you've been caught first, doesn't it?
Well, there's no doubt. I think it's unfair, but there's no doubt that people who are enemies of the Obama administration, people that are enemies of what President Obama has been trying to do and been trying to get done here in the years that he's been president of the United States, they're going to try to say, yeah, America, look at them spying on the allies. And the Republicans are doing that, a Tea Party people. And a Tea Party and the Republicans are people that, it just doesn't matter what kind of mental disease, what kind of weird antic they want to get involved in, they're going to try to, make that seem like it's the most normal thing in the world. But anyway, my whole point...
What are you saying, man? You're babbling along.
Hey, bud, shut up, man.
Wow, who's this guy? What's your story
you tell about Obama?
Hey, let me tell you, what are you, Tea Party or something like that?
No, I'm not Tea Party. I'm just saying you're blah, 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 blah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, I mean, there's people out here who want to know, and you're just going blah, 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 blah.
Hey, bud, why don't you let the guy finish?
Then let the guy finish. You just talk and talk and talk.
Hey, let me tell you something about how the world works.
You mean how grown-ups are? Because that's all you're talking about.
You know what, man? Who needs this, man? I can go up down the street and have a drink,
Well, you can't bury your problems in alcohol, Jack.
I'm not burying my problems. What is this, anyway? All of a sudden, I got a drinking problem or something like this?
Well, everybody just back off for a second. We understand that this is a political situation. We understand, I think, that people will seize on anything they possibly can to slam Obama. I don't think that that's a secret. And so Obama's critics tend to lose a lot of their credibility, especially with people that are kind of on the fence or are these, independents or these uncommitted voters, as they call them. When they sort of stand back from the fray and they watch this president just taking every single solitary conceivable shot, whether it makes sense or not. I mean, all these Looney Tunes, with these shots about Obama bringing on the apocalypse.
Well, that right there, can you see that? And when you get this guy, when you get this woman, of the two of them, of the husband and her, she's more the guy than he is, Phil?
Okay, that's fine. I mean, no more slams on and shots on her husband, okay?
No, but I'm just saying, this Bachman, who comes from Minnesota, which is like the most disgraceful thing that I think is, she's worse than Jesse the Body Ventura to have this Bachman. She's the worst person to represent the state of Minnesota maybe ever in the history of this state. I never have seen anything like it before. She's a mental case. She's all weirded out, her husband, yeah, you're right, the guy's a freak on wheels, and Jesse the Body Ventura, who was the worst governor I think we ever had, but Bachman makes that guy look like Abraham Lincoln on steroids, So, and with Jesse the Body Ventura, you talk about steroids, man, I'm telling you something, it's for sure,
Okay, but this is why everybody is saying you're getting sidetracked. All right.
What do you mean sidetrack?
What are you talking about, man?
Look, hold on for a minute. Jack, it's Margaret. You need to make your point.
Well, I made my point, that they're spying on us and we're spying on them.
Right, I know, but we've got to find a way through the usual finger-pointing. That's why when I do an interview, I want to find out...
Well, what do you want from me? I mean, I'm doing a blog. Why don't you get on some of these brain surgeons, get on some of these big names, why don't you get on that Glenn Beck or one of these brain surgeons? That guy, they got no answer. All he wants to do is tear everything down, just take a big fat dump on everything,
Well, that kind of language is not going to help you.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry brought me on here. I got this guy over here yelling at me.
All he's trying to do is get a point out of you without you repeating yourself.
You know what, man? Someone ought to shut you up, man, with a right hand. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. That's a good fight, man.
All right, take it easy, will you? Jack, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, you let me go, man, because God forbid I I'm on your show and I look... I'm going to look like a pussy.
All right, thanks so much. I'm not blaming you.
Well, in that case, I don't think Bud was in the wrong. I think Jack Armstrong is a mental midget. I really do.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
He doesn't really pull it all together. He's got his little blog, And he calls himself a progressive. I don't think he knows what he is. But he made the very obvious point that they're spying on us, we're spying on them. We know that, you know that, we all know that. And as you said, Phil, well, how do we pull this all together and make sense out of that? And all Jack can do is flail about. What are you looking at?
You sound like you've got something in the back of your throat.
If you say it sounds like...
No, he didn't say it.
It sounded like you were gurgling.
If you say anything more, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to end... Never mind.
Thank you, Bud, for that.
But she was... It sounded like there was something kind of thick in the back of her...
Never mind. All right, so that was a great interview, I guess. I don't know. But suffice it to say, I think what we learned from that interview is that Angela Merkel, she ain't talking about nothing on that cell phone of hers that's going to interest anybody. It's all just really strictly from hunger. The Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians, those are guys that you don't want hacking your phone. America, it ain't no sweat. They're spying on us, but we're taking the majority of the heat for it, and there you go. So that's the end of that. You know what, Jack, if you're listening, and I'm sure that you are, the next time you come on the show, I'll clear out the studio so you don't have to put up with the rest of these people.
I think you need people in. I'm sorry, Jack, if you're still listening, but you're a real motor mouth, a real big mouth.
Yeah, you blah, 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 blah.
Take it easy, okay? No, Jack, what we'll do is have people, you know, we'll clear the studio out so you can just go ahead and...
Motor mouth it?
So you can go ahead and have your opinion the way you want to. All right, we got Steve Bozell coming up, or do we? No, we don't have Steve Bozell. That's coming up later in the week. I'm sorry. Coming up, we're going to take another look at today's news. We're also going to... We had Bobby Dooley on. She was talking about slapping Steve, and we just had Jack Armstrong on. All right, so we're caught up. So let's review some of the day's news. We get back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And for those of you that may not know... we're offline tonight because of internet problems. We'll be back up tomorrow night with our usual video cast, and we'll have a bonus video cast for you on Saturday afternoon at philhendryshow.com to make up for tonight's missed video cast.
Woo! That's like Halloween.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And on Sundays, we have our Game of the Week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman, and had one this past weekend. We'll have another one, although we did get blacked out a couple of weeks ago because of this very problem that we're having here. And by the way, Jeff Dunham, let me explain something to you, Margaret.
Well, I only brought it up to illustrate a point.
No, illustrate no point. I don't rip anybody off, okay? It's been one of the banes of my existence that I've tried to be original with my show. One of the banes of my existence is that I don't do what everybody else does. I don't rip anybody's act off. I don't lift anybody's material. I do everything the way I do it because it came out of my head originally, okay? Rip off Jeff Dunham. Let me tell you something, it's more likely Jeff Dunham's ripping me off. What do you think of that?
Well, he works, he's a ventriloquist.
Great, he's a ventriloquist, good for him. So he does characters, so do I. So what are you talking about? You know, the problem with this is why talk radio has gone straight into the sewer, man. You can't bring anything creative to this medium, otherwise people don't know what to do. You got a bunch of brain-dead blue hairs listening to most of this stuff, and the only thing they know is some guy sitting there on his dead ass talking Tea Party stuff and bringing on a guest and taking on a call, and then that's what they call radio, okay? Bring something creative to this medium, the next thing you know, well, he must be doing Jeff Dunham.
Well, Phil, I didn't say this to get you pissed off. I'm simply saying that's what I saw on Facebook.
Well, now, everybody knows Facebook is the capital of brain surgery. The people over there, man, they're a real cutting edge. If there's one thing I don't do, it's rip anybody off. Do you understand? You understand that?
Yeah, I understand. I didn't say anything.
You may like me, you may hate me, I don't rip anybody's show off. Ask anybody who actually knows something. No, not talking about some jive-ass commenting on Facebook, and I'm certainly not talking about any clown that does a Tea Party show. I'm talking about people that are real broadcasters. Ask them. They'll tell you, if there's one thing Henry doesn't do, it's rip people off. It's more likely people are ripping me off. And Jeff Dunham, nothing against the guy. He's a very, very popular guy. That's good for him. He's making all kinds of jack. He does a ventriloquist act for some dumbass to say, I'm ripping him off? That, I'll tell you what, if I'm ripping a ventriloquist off, there's a whole lot more that came before him, man, starting with when I was a little kid, Sherry Lewis.
Well, I know, but you did say you admired Sherry Lewis.
Sure, I admired Sherry Lewis when I was a little kid. There was Paul Winchell. There was Sherry Lewis. There was all kinds of guys that operated with the ventriloquist act. Jeff Dunham, man, he's one in a long line of them. Man.
Well, I didn't say it to get you angry.
Well, you know that's going to burn me more than anything. I can't stand it when people accuse. Like I said, you don't have to like me, but if there's one thing I don't do, it's rip anybody off. I can't stand it. It's the thing that's killed this medium. It's the thing that kills most artistic mediums, are people lifting each other's acts. I don't do it. I ain't gonna do it. I know a lot of people make a lot of money doing that stuff, and maybe that's the way you ought to do it. I ain't gonna do it. Boom! That's it.
Hey.
Thank you. All right. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. Where do we go from here, man? Because we've got we've had no internet access, so we have been cut off from the real world here, man. I wouldn't know. Of course, we do have cable. We've got cable TV. God forbid we'd lose that. But as far as our internet access is concerned, we ain't got any. So I'm going to tell you that, just give you an idea of what is ahead here in the days and the weeks and the months on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I mentioned we're going to be in the San Francisco Sketch Fest. That'll be at the end of January. Bobby Dooley's podcast is moving along ever so swimmingly, and she's got a couple of more that she's going to do. Tomorrow, we may have a shot on a popular show on IFC in January as well. And then we finally got a date for our drunk history, at least where we're going to be taping this, and it'll be on December the 2nd.
Where's it going to be?
I'm not going to say where it's going to be. I'm not going to say where it's going to be. I just know that we're going to be taping on December the 2nd.
Now tell people what drunk history is.
Yeah, you get drunk, right?
No, you don't necessarily get drunk. It's about the whole theme of drunk history, the whole reason why they did the show, the idea for the show came about sitting around in a bar and talking about history. Derek Waters, the guy that created the show and the producer, got the idea because he's a history buff like I am, and he had many a late night conversation, I guess, around a bottle with friends of his talking about historical events. And it proved to be rather amusing the way people who are sharing a drink talk when they're talking about history. And so in order that we do this and not sound like a bunch of drunks in a bar who generally going to get their facts wrong and get this screwed up or get that instance screwed up, I have to become rather conversant in my topic. Now, they gave me a choice of three topics.
What's your topic going to be?
I ain't going to say, man. I'm not going to ruin it, you know?
Come on, man. You got to give people a reason why they're going to watch.
Give them a reason why they're going to watch.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
give them a... They're watching for me, man. How about that? They can watch for good old Phil, and then they'll see what I'm going to talk about. Give them a reason.
All right, let it go. Wasn't that big of a thing.
And I'd have pop you for that one, too.
Phil, take it easy. So let me ask you something. So you're going to get hammered, and you're going to talk about a historical... subject, right?
I'm not going to get hammered. I'm going to have a couple of pops. See, the thing that I misunderstood about drunk history was that the... what are you doing, bud?
Talking to David. Yeah? See, he's had a couple of drinks.
Who has?
David.
Get him on the phone. Hey, David? David.
Hey, I heard you talking about this drunk history. And I wanted to mention to you that I'm very proud of that you're going to be on there.
You realize you're hammered, right?
I'm not hammered. I had a couple of drinks.
Are you driving?
No, I'm at home right now.
Where's Daphne?
She's asleep, I think. There's something, there's something on the bed, and it's going up and down, you know. Yeah, I think it's breathing, so... Don't tell her I said it.
Yeah, you're drunk, man.
So I'm drunk.
So did you call in drunk because I'm talking about drunk history, or you were already drunk?
I was already drunk.
So you're calling in because you're already drunk, and I'm talking about drunk history.
Yeah. Was wrong with that? It seemed like pretty good timing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's fine, David, and you're welcome to call in, but I don't think that that's really the point.
Well, you're talking, talk about is you're better than me or something?
What's that?
Are you better than me?
No, I'm not better than you.
You didn't talk to me about it.
Mr. Hart, he's not saying he's better than you.
Hey, shut up.
Okay.
Well, I'll hang up on him.
I'm not going to have that drunk talking to me on the phone on the air. Are you kidding?
Well, I wonder why he did that.
There's something on the bed moving up and down. I think it's Daphne. Anyway, there's a reason right there. There's a classic example of why you don't want to have a guy on there talking about history while he's ready to puke into a toilet. See, I saw a clip of that back when it was on Funny or Die. But here's the thing, and this is what I was told. I said to the guys, look, I don't really, I'm not going to be comfortable going on the show drinking so much that I'm puking my guts up. And absolutely, they agreed. And so that's not what it's about. It's about having a couple of pops and talking about something from the standpoint, from a historical subject that you really like. One of the shows that I did see looked very comfortable. I forget who the narrator was, but he looked extremely comfortable. He's got a bottle of cognac. He's sitting in an easy chair, and he's talking about a historical subject that is near and dear to his heart. And I think in this instance it was, it might have been the Statue of Liberty or something like that, how the Statue of Liberty came to the United States. So they gave me a choice of three topics.
Can you tell us what the three was?
Man, I don't want to, man. It's just going to ruin it, okay?
Well, if people are going to be watching for you, Phil, it won't matter what the topics are.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. I would do it if it was up to me, but I got to, maybe the producers don't. I'll check with them first, man. You know, you don't want to, in this day and age of everybody listening to everything and stealing from everybody.
But you don't rip off Jeff Dunham.
No, I don't. So Jeff Dunham can consider himself lucky. In this day and age where everybody else is ripping people off, I don't think I want to do that. So I got three topics, and I picked one, and now I'm reading up on it and getting, you know, very conversant with it. I already knew a lot about this particular topic because that's why I picked it, but I'm going to really, you know, get a good background on this because a lot of the people who work over on the show are grad students. Some of them are history majors and so forth, and they do a lot of the fact-checking and a lot of the research. So then we go over, we sit down, and as if you're having a conversation with someone, you have a couple of pops, and boom, that's what it's all about.
Now, when you say a couple of pops, Phil, you are drinking to the point of intoxication, isn't that right?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes or no, are you or are you not drinking to the point of intoxication? Yes or no?
Don't tell me to...
Well, Phil, I think we are entitled to a yes or a no.
No.
You lie.
I'm kidding. Yes. How many? Two shots of tequila, you're going to feel a buzz.
That's all I want to know.
Great. And for that information, you have to sing House of the Rising Sun when we come back.
Well, I don't.
No, you do. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, even though we are not online tonight, you should get yourself a backstage pass. A backstage pass gives you access to 5,000 hours of audio, our nightly video casts, our podcasts. Oh, baby, our characters, our daily podcast from the radio show, the news feed, all kinds of webisodes, all kind of thing at philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray now singing a song that is significant to her life that she'll be singing at Saturday night's benefit. Margaret?
Thank you very much, Phil. This song is important to my life.
There is
a house in New Orleans. They call it the Rising Sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl, thank God. It was my ruin, but I found my way out in time.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Would you, hold it up, for God's sake. What did you say?
That doesn't even rhyme.
Well, it doesn't.
It didn't? What kind of people are you? What manner of human are you people? I'm singing a song about me and what I had to wade through to get to where I am today.
I understand.
Well, no, I don't think you do understand. We have to start all over again. Gene Klecka, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have an accompaniment, do I?
No, this is a recording.
All right.
Gotta make it rhyme.
If you don't...
Shut up, bud.
Tell him to shut his mouth. A song that is my life. There is a house in New Orleans. They call it the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor girl. The sewage that I had to swim through. God, it sickens me.
It doesn't rhyme.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. If he said...
Bud, would you be quiet?
Ain't it supposed to rhyme?
What do you mean, ain't it supposed to? It does what I want it to do. The song goes where I go, Bud. I don't go where the song goes. It goes where I go. And if my instinct tells me... Have you ever heard of talking blues? Talking blues. Phil, you know what that is.
Yes, they talk along and sort of improvise the lyrics a little bit.
Yes. That's what I'm doing, you dumbass. So sit back, relax, and learn something.
I don't gonna learn nothing. I'm gonna get be blues.
What? Was that even English?
Never mind. Just go ahead. Bud, be quiet for once in your life. For once in your ever-loving life. Shut up, will you?
Somebody's gotta hold her feet to the fire.
You're gonna hold...
Hey, watch it, watch it.
Beat his ass. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud of what I've been able to achieve in my life, but like so many young women in this country, I had to step very high through filth. There is a house in New Orleans. Oh, they call it the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of so many young girls. Fortunately for me, I snuck out one night through the filth and the sewage and made my way to freedom. Go ahead, tell me it doesn't rhyme. I dare you to tell me it doesn't rhyme.
I didn't say anything.
You better believe it. My mother was... Well, you get the general idea, don't you? So...
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. God, I hate the...
You hate it?
Well, I don't hate it, but... Eric Burdon.
Woo!
In any event, Phil, that is the song.
Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
You talk about in that song how you had to swim through a river of filth and...
No, she had to step high through some sewage.
Yes, I... Thank you, Bud. I didn't have to swim through a river of filth so much as I had to... I guess you'd say, Phil, gather my skirts about me and high step through a lot of sewage... You know?
Not really, I mean, but I guess the point being...
Yeah, the point is that I had to high-step through a lot of sewage and filth.
All right, so there's no real difference.
No, yes, there is a difference. Yes, there is a difference. Are you listening to me? No, I did not swim through a river of sewage. I had to pull my dress up and high-step through filth, sewage.
Yeah, you high-stepped it.
Yes.
You high-stepped it. What does that mean, exactly?
It means that when I was a young lady looking to get out of the filth and the degradation that I was raised in, figuratively, you know that I grew up wealthy, but I'm saying, in terms of my emotional state, I had to pull my dress up, all right, I'll say it, above my ass. Are you happy now? You got the truth out, Phil? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. You're such a child.
You know, Mr. Ernie's laughing because you talk about high-stepping and everything like that.
Yes, because I high-step... Why is that so funny?
What difference does it make if you swam through a river of filth or you high-stepped through sewage? What difference does it make?
In one instance, you swim. In the other instance, Bud...
You high-step.
Thank you.
All right, so you high-stepped through sewage... Oh, and you had to gather your skirts up?
Yes, above my ass.
Above your ass?
Yeah, here's Phil Hendry. Above your ass! There, you happy? Now you just broadcast it to everyone?
That's pretty much what we're doing tonight. Broadcasting to everyone. Were you not wearing underwear? I mean, what is the...
How dare you go there?
Yeah, but that's a good point if you had to pull it up above your butt.
The fact is, no, I was not. If you must know. You're getting very personal, Phil.
Margaret, you're the one that volunteered all of this specific information, even though it's symbolic. You're not talking in any real sense. You're right. You were raised wealthy because you told me so. Your father had money. Your mother had money. The whole family had money. But somehow, in your mind, you had to pull yourself out of degradation and filth.
No, not in my mind. Emotionally and psychologically, I had to pull myself up out of a sewer. A sewer that I was in, and I had to get out, Phil.
What was the sewer you were in?
The sewer I was in was my instinct. I wanted to be an adult film actress, and by God, it was something I... Forget it. I'm not going to even talk about it. He's laughing.
I'm not going to laugh.
I'm going to belt you, man. I swear to God.
Well, Miss Gray, I understand.
Thank you, Robert.
So the sewage that you had to pull yourself... Margaret...
No, never mind.
So the sewage she pulled herself out of?
Yeah, ma'am. She wanted to be an adult film actress and had to pull herself out of that sewer.
Yeah, she made the sewer.
I don't care if she made the sewer. She might have made it, but now she's stuck in it.
I hope you die.
Yeah. She made it, and now she's stuck in it. And what is it? She wanted to be an adult film actress.
That's right. Ask any young girl.
Okay. Oh, man.
Well, you think it's funny, Phil. You know, God forbid any daughter of yours wind up that way.
Well, I got news for you. I have a stepdaughter, and she's a fine young lady, and she isn't going to wind up anywhere near that. So don't you worry yourself, okay?
Oh, well, aren't you lucky?
No, not lucky. No, not lucky at all. She was raised very, very well by her mother, and she's a great kid. And because you had to pull yourself up out of a sewer of your own making to be... So that's the sewage that you had to high step through, gathering your skirts about your waist, showing your ass, and in those days you didn't wear...
I'm going to have a white owl.
Yeah, you go out and have a white owl. So there you go, folks. You got me. World-famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back here, and we will re-engage on the debate over the Washington Redskin name. Whether they should be the Redskins, whether they should be the whatever the hell they ought to be, the Bravehearts. I think that we're all united in the sense and the feeling and in the absolute conviction that Braveheart, no. I'd rather they stay the... Well, I shouldn't say that. I'd rather they have no name. How about that? Why do they have to have a nickname?
What? What are you talking about? What are you about to put on the side of a helmet?
You put like a big zero.
A big zero? That's Oregon.
That's Oregon. Woo! No, man, that means O for Oregon. How about if they just call themselves the Washington Football Club? How about if they do a little kind of a throwback thing like that, man? The Washington Footballs, I don't know. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back next hour with that very engaging discussion. And in the meantime, just remember Margaret. Think of her this weekend at her benefit. She'll be high-stepping through the sewage.
I hope you die.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, the final hour of this night of nights, this night of a few small items of technical misfeasance, but we've powered through all of it, and happy to be with you. We're going to bring Brassville and Aweva back on, as well as probably mostly Vernon Dozier this evening, because Brass held forth in the first hour ad nauseum on the topic of the Washington Redskins and their name. And I imagine he's also landed by now.
Yeah, he's Mac Cray's jet.
Yeah.
Who in the hell is Mac Cray, anyway?
Well, he's got High Blue Records.
You've never heard of High Blue Records?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's an entrepreneurial effort, an independent label, as so many of them are. Mac is he spots a lot of talent, a lot of hip-hop talent, young rap and R&B talent. Like so many of our young recording moguls, has, at least if not his own jet, charters this one quite frequently.
And they're on their way to D.C. to argue the whole Redskin thing.
Well, I don't know if that's really why they're flying the jet back to D.C. tonight. It probably is just one big flying party for all I know. But I would think that Brassville and Aweva should consider himself very fortunate to be on board that Party Express tonight, I'd say that.
Yeah, and you're probably popping bottles and everything.
Yeah, he already said that, popping bottles. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, they're probably going to go back and say, hey, that Redskin name is bad.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, look it. You know, I got a perspective on it. I've heard myself. I don't even want to hear myself anymore on the topic. And people either they get it or they don't. I don't know. I'm not saying that all names are bad. Some people get a little ridiculous. You know, they're talking about how, well, if you don't like the name Redskin, what about calling people Dodgers? Why, do you understand the people of Brooklyn? That makes them sound like a bunch of idiots. Trolley dodging. You know, like, who even knows?
What?
Yeah, that's what the term Dodger means. I don't know.
What about the name that I don't get is the Browns? That's one that's next on the list.
Yeah, what about that?
What about that? That's a very curious name.
The Browns were named after Paul Brown.
Well,
no, not well anything. They were named after Paul Brown, who was their first coach, and I think he was an original owner of the team. Why, what's your point?
Well, that may well be the case. But today, calling a team the Browns represents something extremely specific, and that is skin color, if not... You know, I think you all know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
No, I don't. What?
Well,
the Browns.
Okay, you know, there's a commercial on TV, by the way, for UPS. Go Brown.
Well, and I don't like that either.
You don't like it? Why? Because it sounds scatological? Or because it's about race?
What do you mean by scatological? I know what you mean by scatological, but I'm asking what do you mean by scatological, so you'll have to define it.
Yes, I know you're saying that. Margaret, crap, in other words.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. If you're going to call a guy Brown.
So what is it, bud? You don't like the name Brown because they're calling some guy the color of crap, or because it's the skin color, or what is it that you don't like about Browns? I told you that the team was named after the coach.
Yeah, I believe you, Mr. Ed, it was named after the coach, but today, the meanings change.
Yes, meanings morph over time, Phil. Maybe a few years ago it was about Paul Brown. Today, it's about the color of something that drops out of...
Yeah, here we go again with you whispering. You and everybody else in the show that whispers, say it if you mean it.
The back end of a cow? Is that what you want me to say?
That's what you were going to say. Every night, man, it's something with you guys talking about. You're offended by things, but you're the first ones to start yapping about it. You know, you're the first ones to bring it up. You're offended by Brown, but hey, you know what it's about? It's about something that drops into the ass end of a cow, and it could be a guy's skin color. And
not skim color, skin color.
I said skin.
No, you didn't. You said skim, as in skim milk.
Skin color. So is that it? Is that your big play tonight, huh? So if they're going to change the name of the Redskins, why not change the name of the Browns? Is that it?
That's not my thing, although I would say, to be fair...
Yeah, we have to look at this objectively.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So if they're going to change the name of the Redskins, let's start hassling the Browns. Here's a good one. How about the Ravens? I mean, those poor Ravens. Why would they want to be compared to a football team?
Don't be asinine, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, don't be stupid and everything about a bird.
Well, why? Why am I being stupid?
Birds don't have constitutional right. Only a human being does.
There you go. Bingo. I was trying to figure out what it was, and that's it. Birds don't have constitutional rights.
You were trying to figure it out, huh? Took you a while, huh?
Can you figure it out, huh? What is your problem?
Well, how long did it take you to figure that one out?
Robert said it, and I said, yes, there it is.
You didn't understand right off the bat that Raven represented a bird which has no constitutional rights, which is just a dumb animal? You had to wait for Robert to bring it up so you could really, really get your thoughts focused, huh?
Oh, well, excuse. I didn't know I was sitting with Bertrand Russell here, one of the great minds. What a...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, quit lording it over and pretending like you're all smart and stuff.
So I'm not as quick as you.
How quick do you have to be? Are you guys crazy or something? I'm giving her crap about something a third grader ought to be able to figure that out.
A third grader? A third grader knows that a raven doesn't have constitutional rights? You really know how to insult women, Phil. That's the thing I know. You've got a peculiar talent for insulting and degrading women, even as they love you.
Oh, there she goes.
Yeah, here I go.
Yeah, she just admitted she loves you.
Not in love, you pervert.
You really know how to degrade women, Phil, even as they love you. Boy, it's spoken like a real drama queen, I gotta tell you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, go into the bathroom and close the door, Margaret, if you're gonna use the... Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, let's get back on... task here and talk with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. We thank you very much, Vernon, for rejoining us here as we discuss the Redskin team name. As I understand it, from my close personal friend Matt back in D.C., since we are without internet communication or access tonight, Vernon, we are we're hearing things sort of word of mouth that there is going to be a big meeting between the NFL owners, Mr. Snyder. I have to believe that the commissioner will be there. What do you think is going to be discussed?
I think what's going to be discussed is the changing the name of the Washington Redskins to some other name. Now, and by the way, you left out the Oneida Nation, which is the Native American nation, the Native American coalition, because a nation, the Oneida Nation represents many tribes and subsets of tribes that have allied with the Oneida tribe to create a political presence, one that's going to benefit the native people of that part of the country. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're all Oneida Indians. Having said that, there's a substantial number of native people who are given to want to hear this, to see this name change. I would simply say to them, and you know, at this point, we don't have any leverage. Those of us who are opposed to this name change.
Now, yes, so you are opposed to it.
I am, but I'm opposed to it not because I'm a racist. Far from it, Phil. I'm a teacher, and I am a. But I'm a former football player, and I'm a football coach, and I love sport, and I love the tradition and the culture of sport. And at this point, looking at this Redskin debate, I recognize that we are running out of time. My side of the debate's running out of time. We're running out of friends. We're fresh out of friends on this one, and we're running out of time, and we're really running out of any real feasible position to argue. More and more people, I mean, there was a point when I heard Daniel Snyder say, hey, there's no way, I thought, he's my kind of guy. You know, there's a guy, there's a man that's going to stand up. Now it looks like he's going to go soft on us. So you almost know what some women feel on a, I don't know, on a Saturday or Friday night when her man's had too much to drink, and you're laying there and you're like, "Is this? So this is it, huh?" Well, that's how I feel. I feel like Daniel. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, it's going to sound a little gay.
Now you're right. I shouldn't say, but I'm just I can't help but feel a little bit betrayed by him going limp. I mean, not limp, but you know.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I just want to say I didn't mean to bring up the comparison with a, you know, an erection.
No, I understand. I get it. I get it. Okay, it's fine. So you are feeling a bit betrayed by Daniel Snyder. Now that's his team.
Well, it's his team because he bought it. But there's some things you can't buy with money. I think we all know this, especially when it comes to sports. And I think Art Modell found that, God rest his soul, when he moved the Baltimore Ravens to Baltimore. When he moved the original Cleveland Browns to Baltimore, he couldn't take that team name and that team colors with him. Well, I'm going a little too fast here. I guess the theme on your show tonight is alcohol, and I have to admit I have had a couple of beers myself. Art Modell took the team to Baltimore and had to rename them.
No, your point is very well made, that traditions among sports fans are particularly powerful. And I've said this before, and I think that this is something that the American sports fan should hear and those who are in ownership should hear. You know, and I don't think it's any secret to people who have money and travel in the moneyed circles of sport, but the, for instance, English football or soccer fan has a great deal of say in whether or not their teams move, where they move, whether they take the colors with them, whether they take the team records with them. That's a formidable lobby that anyone who owns a team, a football team, i.e. soccer team in England, or anywhere in the world, I would think, but particularly in England, the United Kingdom, I should say. I mean, you got to put up with, you have to deal with, man, fans. They are formidable. You can't ignore them. If you try to, you're going to be living with a whole lot of bad press and bad publicity. And there are innumerable examples of that down through the years. Here in the United States, fans don't usually rise up and defend themselves or speak on behalf of themselves too often. The rare time example, the Cleveland Browns, And maybe there have been other examples, but I, to be honest with you, not in my life, I've never seen any team leave a city and be forced to leave the colors and the team records and the team name behind until I saw the Baltimore, the you know, then Cleveland Browns, now Baltimore Ravens, do that.
Well, and that's and that is it stands as a testament to the guts and to the determination of the people of Cleveland. The football fans of Cleveland, and I watched that happen, you watched it happen, the whole world stood back and had their mouth hanging open, their jaw hanging agape, and watching as Cleveland said, you can take your team and you can move it to hell. You know, you can be the first NFL franchise at the gates of hell, but you are not taking the team colors and the name, and boy, I tell you, I remember wishing that I was with them, and again, Phil, that film comes to mind that you say that you've often mentioned,
I got to take a break here, but go ahead.
All right, but I just want to say that that line from Robert Ryan in the Wild Bunch, when I saw the Cleveland Browns fans hold on to those colors and those records, I remember thinking, boy, those are men, and what have I got with me? Nothing but egg sucking, chicken stealing, gutter trash.
And who are you referring to?
Just everyone else, just my friends.
All right, we'll be right back here.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's an emotional topic. World famous Phil Henry Show, and we're running a little late for our break here. We'll be right back. 855-500-7445 online at philhenryshow.com. Tonight we've had some internet connection problems, but we'll be back at it, baby. Good rock and roll coming up. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show back here in our final hour as we discuss here on this night of no internet. And I only say that because we do have subscribers, BSPs, that have been without the video cast. And we will have, however, tomorrow our podcast. It'll be online and ready for you tomorrow morning, podcast of the show. So don't fret about that. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California, as we discuss the name change of the Washington Redskins. I know it's something that that the people who are fans of the Skins and fans of the name, or just really fans of the tradition, I don't know that anybody is married to the damn name so much as people don't like the idea of having to change the name of something given the history and the tradition. I don't think... I have to be honest here. I don't know that those who want the name to stay the same are necessarily the horrid, rotten, rabid, rope-waving Klansmen that we might think. But then again, you know, I've heard it said that the benign racist, the neighborhood good neighbor racist, is probably much, much worse. Your thoughts on that, Vernon?
Well, my thoughts on that. You know, if you're I don't certainly want to be called a racist. Yeah.
No. I'm not saying that. I mean, but you kind of know where I'm coming from.
I think that's a. I think people want to say well, you know, I know you think you're a good man, but really deep down, and I know you're not saying this, Phil, but I think you people say, I know you're a good man, but deep down you're nothing but swamp running, tree climbing, white trash. You know, and no, I'm not. I mean, I'm an educated man. The whole reason why I don't want the name changed is because of the fact that I would rather there not be a rift in the traditional line of you know, it's like you were saying, Phil, where are we going to stop with the Browns? Are you going to change the name? Because you just gave me an idea. If they force the Redskins to change their name, I will petition the National Football League to have the Browns change their name, because I think that's not only racist, but I think it is an insult to the players saying that they're brown. You know, maybe.
Yeah, but they're not. There's some white players.
No, but I'm saying if even the white players, you're saying you're no better than, you know, brown, something that a dog leaves on a sidewalk. You know.
Well, I mean, that's just, you're going to get laughed right out of any venue you bring that up in.
Oh, really? Am I? I mean, look at what we've got here now. You take a look at the side of the Washington Redskin helmet. That is a proud symbol. That is a symbol of a Native American warrior. That's not a cartoon. That's not the, that isn't that grinning, stupid clown. You remember the Cleveland Indian, do you remember the Cleveland Indian logo, Phil?
Yes, I do. Is that big, grinning, idiotic, Wasn't that it?
Yeah, it was either that or the Atlanta Braves had a stupid-ass-looking, grinning... One of the two had a grinning Indian, and it was an insult. And I could understand any native person saying, you've got me looking like some sort of a clown, a Ringling Brothers clown. I mean, you know, we took it to General Custer. Ask him whether I'm some smiley face, step and fetch it Indian. You ask General Custer, and let's see what he says. Oh, I'm sorry, he's dead, see? So
No, I totally understand. And the Redskin logo, the helmet logo that they use, it is, at least from what I can tell, I've never seen it up close, but it is. It looks like it's a proud... And I guess everything would be fantastic, even if you called them the Warriors as opposed to the Redskins.
The Warriors? There's already a team called the Warriors, and they're a basketball team. Wow.
All right, Well, what difference does it make?
Yeah, this is different. I mean, there's the Giants. What about that, Vernon, the Giants?
What about the Giants?
Well, there's a baseball Giants, and there's a football Giants. So?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, that makes me laugh, too. I laugh every time I hear about the Giants. I mean, it's not so bad now, because the Giants in baseball play in San Francisco, and the Giants in football play in New York. But when they were in the same town... Can you imagine how funny that must have been? I would have, if I lived in New York in those days, I would have laughed myself incontinent. I mean, I would have lost control. Every day I'd get up and laugh. Every day.
At what?
Yeah, what are you going to laugh at?
What am I going to laugh at? I'm going to laugh at the fact that I'm going to open up the sports page and it's going to say the Giants won 3-2. Oh, really? Was that the football Giants or the baseball Giants? I guess I got to look at the picture. And then, you see what I'm saying?
Well, not really. I mean, it doesn't seem that goofy, but I don't know.
It doesn't seem that... We got no right at all to start ripping into the Canadians because they had two teams called the Rough Riders. Well, we have the Giants. You know,
Well, okay. Rip it into the Canadians about what?
They got two teams up there called the Rough Riders.
Well, they used to. One of them folded.
One of them folded?
Yeah. One of them folded, so they only have one Rough Rider.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, Mike, are you... If he says that's what she said, I swear to God...
Well, I heard somebody say earlier in the show, if you tee him up, I'll hit him out.
Are we having a discussion here about something serious like this team name, or are we going to start teeing him up again?
If you say that's what she said, I am walking off this show once and for all.
If Mr. Henry teed it up... Okay.
I didn't tee anything up. I said there's only one Rough Rider left. And you said, or were about to say, that's what she said.
Because there it was.
Yeah, you sort of teed it up.
All right, if I hear that phrase one more time, I'll walk off the show. Margaret's walking off the show. That means you two dimbulbs.
That's not so bad. You two guys, I could give you a hand. I mean, I'm not anywhere near the studio.
No, don't even worry about it, okay? We're talking to Vernon Dozier here. We're discussing the name change of the Redskins, the possible name change of the Redskins. Let's go to a phone call. Paul in Bakersfield. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Vernon. This is Paul. I'm in Oildale, California, and I want to say that I'm with you on this. I think that the Redskins should keep their name, and I think that that Daniel Snyder should show a little bit of backbone, the same kind of backbone that George Preston Marshall showed when he had the team. Now, George Preston Marshall, a lot of people will say, was a racist, and that may well be, but at least he knew how to run the team the way he wanted to run the team, and they made them sing Dixie at the training camp, and it was Marshall saying, this is the way it's going to be, and I wondered if you wanted to comment on that.
I think you make a good point. George Preston Marshall, he was no one to be fooled with. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he did it.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll hold on to those comments and take them under advisement and all that other good stuff. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What does that mean, take them under advisement?
I just realized we're running late here for the break. Vernon, hang on. Paul, you hang on. Margaret, you hang on. Bud, you hang on. You hang on.
And yeah, and none of that...
That's what she said.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here. Vernon Dozier with us. We also have our caller Paul on the line as we continue discussing here this Washington Redskin name change. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm just telling Vernon that I agreed with what he was saying, and I hope that the Washington Redskins, you were mentioning George Preston Marshall, I mentioned George Preston Marshall, and I just want to say that I thought he was a guy with backbone.
No, yeah, that's exactly right, Paul. George Preston Marshall did have a great deal of backbone. He is a guy that some people think was a bigot. That may well be. I don't know. What I do know is that he ran that team the way he wanted to run that team. Nowadays, of course, you can't do that. You got the federal government telling you how to do things.
Do you disagree in the equal employment opportunity laws? Do you disagree that those laws that are designed to keep people from discriminating against a job applicant on the basis of race?
I mean, you're not talking, when you say a job applicant, are you telling me that the Washington Redskins, excuse me for a minute, Washington Redskins were supposed to interview white running backs as well as black, or black instead of white? I don't understand.
Yeah, you do, Vernon. You know, you're a high school teacher, and
you gotta let Vernon say what he's gonna say, Bill, instead of all you talk show hosts are the same.
Well, there you go, Paul. Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize, gentlemen. I've got a problem breathing tonight. I think it's from all of the just the bull crap in the air, you know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because I was listening to the program myself. It was hard for me to breathe, you know.
Well, if you guys are having a hard time breathing, maybe you ought to go out and take a step outside and get some air.
You're asking me to go outside.
Oh, did you hear that, Vernon?
Take it easy, Paul. I got it. You're asking me to step outside.
No, I'm not asking you to step outside.
Hold on, Bill. I've got an allergy. Do you mind?
No, I don't.
You sound like you could use maybe some Mucinex or something like that.
I'm okay. Oh, God. Hey, baby, give me one of those... give me one of those cream sodas, huh? Give me a cream soda, will you? I'm sorry, Phil. I got a allergy seems to be acting up tonight. But what I'm saying is, look, I know you don't want to fight me or anything, but you said take a step outside.
Well, I'm saying if you're having a hard time with all the bullcrap, I don't know what... If you're talking about bullcrap, I'm listening to it being shoveled just as much on your side of this debate as on any side of the debate.
Look at Phil. I'm talking straight, you know.
Yeah, seem to me that Vernon's saying the straight stuff.
I got it, Paul. Hold on. I'm talking straight, okay? I'm saying that the tradition of the Washington Redskins should remain the tradition, and I think let's play down the whole racial aspect of Redskin. Let's just say the Washington Redskins, but that's it. Everything else has Washington on it. Just say go, or call them the Skins. And you don't have to say red, pink, white, blue. They're Skins. Everyone has skin.
Yeah, and that's right there. You know, everybody has skin.
Look at Paul. I've got it, man. You're going to keep on talking like that.
All right, Paul, I guess Vernon doesn't want to talk to you, okay?
Well, that's okay. I understand.
Okay, boy, the guy was rather enthusiastic. I would think you'd enjoy the support.
I do enjoy the support until the guy starts butting in every time. He's like... he sounded to me like a guy who was recovering from a stroke. Is that's the best you can do? Those are the people that are supporting me tonight, guys that are recovering from strokes?
No, that's not what the guy... Did he sound okay when he called, Bud?
Yeah, sounded fine.
Well, that's coming from a guy with a plate in his head, but, you know...
Well, you know, there's no need to... you said something that I thought was very forthcoming and very honest, and I'd like you to comment on this. By the way, McAuliffe is beating Cuccinelli in Virginia 51% to 39.
And you said that to stick it in, huh?
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, yeah, he's kicking his ass. Kicking his ass. This guy Cuccinelli, well, the problem with Cuccinelli, he's got that lieutenant governor who's about as brain dead as they get. This guy that's running... this guy Cuccinelli has got this dumbass who's running for vice...
Vice governor? It's called lieutenant governor. Wow.
All right, lieutenant...
I mean, come on, Phil.
Lieutenant Governor, who's got some kooky ideas. All right, go ahead.
What I was saying was that it's obvious to me that we're going to lose this fight. There's absolutely no doubt we're going to lose the fight. The Redskins are going to change their name unless we get some help. And all I'm asking is that when they do win this debate, which it looks like they're going to, is that they not do the victory dance all up and down our backs. You know, there's a few of us that did stand tall and proud to hold on to the Redskin name. And we're going to lose. There's no question we're going to lose. Daniel Snyder is going to lose, those of us who are traditionalists. And I would hope that those that win the debate, yourself, Mr. Hendry, and all of these, you know, the United Nation, all these people, this kid was flying back tonight on that hip-hop rap guy's airplane, all you people, that you don't do your victory dance up and down my back and then roll me over, and I think you know where I'm going with this, and then start doing a victory dance in one specific part of my body until they're nothing but jelly. And that's what I worry about.
Well, so you're worried about being emasculated. Is that it?
No, that's not it. It's something a little bit more basic. You want to do a victory dance on me, on my face, on my blank, roll me over, do a little victory dance on my neck. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried.
What are you worried about? Say it again.
I think I'm being clear.
No, you're not being clear. Doing a victory dance, not literally on your body.
No, not literally. I mean, doing a victory dance all over my reputation and all over my manhood. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, it's going to happen. It happens. We tend to celebrate when we win, and we tend to get kind of cross and cranky when we lose. It's the way it is. It's the way our world works. Good luck to you, Vernon. I hope that, I hope that things are going to work out for you, man. But I agree with you. It is a fight that you're going to lose.
Yeah, and then you come on with this whole news about Cuccinelli. So my side of the culture war, to use Bill, the guy who does that Fox News show.
Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly. To use his word, culture war, I'm getting my ass handed to me. So feel good about it, Mr. Henry. Feel good.
All right. Well, Vernon, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Vernon Dozier. I just saw Bill Maher, not to change the subject too radically. Bill Maher is on Pierce. By the way, I thought Pierce Morgan got canned or something.
Yeah, he's supposed to be canned. I don't know what he's doing up there.
Yeah, we want to call up CNN and find out.
No, you don't have to call CNN and find out. I don't.
Well, I think that what they're doing is they're letting Pierce have a few more weeks so that he doesn't go off with his tail shoved between his legs, you know, so that there's a little bit of dignity.
Well, he's on with Bill Maher, and Bill Maher said, and I quote, "This country's in decline." Now, I just want to make this statement because I believe this very firmly. Whenever a guy makes a statement like that, he is officially an old man. You can make all the comments you want about old this, old that, age this, age that. You know, Lou Reed just passed on. He was 71 years of age, and there are people half and one quarter his age that wish that they could be one-tenth as cool as him. So I don't know what people are talking about. But Maher sounds like a cranky old creep when he says the country's in decline. And
well, why do you think that sounds cranky and old?
Because I'm getting, frankly, as a student of history, do you want to know how many times people have said that the country is in decline? Do you want to know how many times people have said that the country is in the throes of demon liquor, and the country is in decline because look what's happened to our southern culture? You know, there was that, and then the country's in decline because women. Can you believe that women are traveling on their own outside of the country, and they're in the cities, and the country's in decline because of all this jazz? And the country's in decline because all the race. The country's been in decline since the country started, okay? And I wonder if Maher is aware of just how much of a cranky old creep it makes him sound like.
Yeah, Bill Maher heard you say that. He'd rip you.
All right, maybe he would rip me. I mean, Bill Maher is good, but I mean, come on, man. I thought the guy was a comic. He's coming on here with all that stuff. Like to make a guy just want to kill himself with that kind of bummed out, depressing claptrap. So
when did you get into this McAuliffe race?
What, the Virginia race?
Yes.
Because my friend Barry Louise is working on behalf of him.
Oh, now I understand she met Bill Clinton.
Yes, she did. Barry Louise working for the McAuliffe campaign, and she had she sat down and talked to former President Clinton, and she said it was fantastic. She said that he's a very gracious guy. She was concerned about the Tea Party, and was talking to him about that. And
what did he say?
Well, she didn't get into it, and I don't blame her. She didn't have enough time, and she was just texting me this. But he said to her, ultimately, just keep working hard, and, you know, things are going to be good. But
I just thought what Bill Maher said, the pot issue, the Republicans can own that.
I don't care what Bill Maher says. What, is Bill Maher all upset now because Democrats are What, because Democrats believe in defending the Constitution? Well, I don't know what his problem is. I could give a damn, okay? Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, I'm not blowing you off, Margaret.
Well, I just think there's some interesting things he's saying.
He ain't said anything interesting. Look at this, Bill Maher versus feminism. Bill Maher's turning into Rush Limbaugh. Good for him. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And like I said, tonight we had our internet issues. We'll be back online tomorrow. And don't forget that you can download a podcast of tonight's show as well at philhendryshow.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. On Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to be hanging with Jimmy Pardo and the crew. The Partathon is an annual event Jimmy Pardo runs on his internet radio show. I want to say that Jimmy has a podcast, and he does, but he's also live. I think he has a live internet show. Nonetheless, the Partathon, which is live and will be happening on Thanksgiving Day, I will be a part of it. I'm very, very proud to be a part of the Partathon. So that's going to be cool. That'll be happening Thanksgiving Day. And then January 26th, we're at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and that is going to be a rollout, the very first rollout of our one-man show. So people that have been asking me and giving me a hard time.
Well, a lot of people have been waiting for this, Phil, because you've been talking about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's rolling out on January the 26th. January 26th. That gives us 3 months to think of something to do. I'm kidding. January 26th, it's going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. We'll give you details on where that is and the specific time it starts and stuff like that.
About, like, transportation and everything.
What do you mean, transportation?
Well, they have a tram? Yeah, they usually have a tram and everything.
A tram? For what?
For with from the parking lot to the event.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, who knows? No, probably not. You know, what do you think? People are going to turn out by the millions to see me? I mean, it's going to be in a moderately sized theater. I think you'll be able to park your car and walk to it without too much trouble, you know.
Yeah, so if there's, but in case there should be a tram.
I'm sure they'll have a tram if it gets too crowded, you know.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Annie, that maybe there will be enough people who they'll need a tram.
Because if they have to take a tram and there isn't one.
All right, I'll ask them, will there be a tram? I doubt it sincerely. The only time I've ever been to an event where I got to take a tram was the L.A. Open Golf Tournament. I think that's about it, you know.
But what about, like, some Hollywood parties, things like that?
Yeah. You go to a Hollywood party, you probably got to take a tram.
No, you don't have to take a tram. To what? To a party?
Yeah, like at a guy's house.
No. No.
What about when you had your 50th?
Hey, are you guys trying to piss me off or something?
No. What about when you had... You had a big party for your 50th, right?
Yeah, and everybody parked on the street and walked up to the house, so...
Probably should have had a valet park. A lot of them had the valet parking, but I understand.
The valet parking. All right, so that's that. And we're also... Well, we had a, as I've been referencing this evening, a problem with our internet. Now, I have been told... Now, where we are, our studios, are on Channel Islands Beach here at the El Pacifico in California, on the coast of California. And we're here in a windswept, it's a beautiful area. I mean, we've got a gorgeous ocean, a beautiful beach. And when the fall and winter months hit, man, we get tons of wind. And like most of California in the wintertime, we get a lot of rain. I'm told that the lines, the fiber optic or whatever the hell they are, leading out to this particular business district are old and have degraded, you know.
Now, who told you that?
That was the text that I just got from our crew. They said that the people at the you know, Time Warner said that they're old and degraded. I don't know. And I have to tell you that I'm not impressed at all with the way the internet age has rolled out in terms of just basic service. It's about as sloppy as the old age of electrical service. And here's what I mean by that. And I don't think I'm being, you know, too overboard. When you have a utility, let's say, or you have a tool that is over 100 years old and has been in public use for over 100 years, over 100, it would seem to me that you would by now have developed some systems, some protocols, some platforms, whatever you want to call them, that would ensure that if you have an outage, it's not one that lasts very long, and it is one that is of minor inconvenience, and that everybody is fully supported, and you don't have to... You, for instance, if you want to run your damn air conditioning, run your air conditioning. I understand that it costs a lot of money. If that guy wants to spend that amount of money for air conditioning, let him. But to have the entire system collapse, as it often does because of use, to me, tells me one thing. It tells me that these guys aren't as good as, let's say, some government systems. Do you think, for instance, if we have a need at the level of national security or at the level of national defense, do you think it's anywhere near as constantly failing as this is?
Well, we don't know that, do we? We do know that many people have warned us that our national security is compromised at times because of the systems.
Yeah, well, and then we find out the truth, don't we? We find out, we go to war, and we find out what the real truth is. We go out and kick everybody's ass, and it takes about a half hour to do it.
Not Iraq.
Well, Iraq was a... Look, Iraq was bad strategy, man. It had nothing to do with that we didn't have the weapons. It had nothing to do with we didn't have the tools. It had nothing to do with that we didn't have the guns and the bombs and the equipment to do it with. It was about strategy. It had nothing at all to do with the readiness of the tools and the ability of the troops. This was just strategy. I'm talking about just the tools, man, just the infrastructure. This stuff ain't working. Same thing here with the internet. Same thing with cable. You guys are hitting it out of the park about the way your compatriots over there on the electrical side. It's okay. It ain't knocking anybody's socks off. It's fine. It's something we have to put up with rather than something that we celebrate. Wouldn't you rather have customers that say, hey, man, I got Time Warner. I love them. How many people do you think say that? I got news for you. How about hardly any?
Well, sometimes... You don't say it, man. Like, nobody says it.
No one says, yeah, man, my Time Warner, I love them. I hear people say that about DirecTV, and if you think that people don't have product loyalty, I give you Harley Davidson, okay? I give you, speak of the devil, the National Football League. There's all kinds of products, all kinds of commodities, all kinds of services that people pay for that they love, that they absolutely embrace and love, and for generations they've had their arms and their legs wrapped around it, man. You think they do it with a cable company? Forget it.
Well, but it's slightly different, Phil. Cable companies are given the monopoly, you know, on people's services.
Okay, and so you would think that they would look to deserve that. You think they would say, because I have a monopoly on this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prove to people how good we are, that this isn't just a matter of having some pals at the county commission. This isn't a matter of paying off the right people. This is where we really deserve it. Let's show everybody what we got. Not these guys. And I'm telling you, it's Comcast, it's Time Warner, it's all of them. All the way on down the line, they all just do the bare minimum. And I got news for you. You walk into the Time Warner office here in the Caneo Valley western part of L.A. County, eastern part of Ventura County, walk into their office and take a look at what a dump it is. I mean, honest to God, you would think for the bread they get, it would look like one of those personal services banks. You know, the ones you walk into there in Beverly Hills?
Well, I know that Frank and I bank at a place where the teller sits at a desk and we can get up and walk, we can go into the safe. And
you can go into the safe?
Well, not go into the safe.
No, I know what you're talking about. I've seen banks like that. Yeah, you know, you don't walk up to a teller. You sit down at the desk and, oh, well, can we get you a cup of coffee? Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And you'd swear to God the bread that these cats get, man, that'd be exactly the way their office looks. I walked into the Time Warner office here, and you might as well be walking into your average DMV someplace. Not even that nice. So, I don't know.
Well, good luck getting good service now, Phil, because if anybody from Time Warner heard this...
Oh, give me a break. If they're going to hold that against me...
They'll probably hold it against you if they heard it. Then you'll be lucky.
Well, we'll see. We'll be here tomorrow night, folks, and those of you that are listening on radio who usually watch the video cast, I'm going to tell you something. Just you watch, man. If we're here tomorrow night and we've got internet service and we're on the video cast and it's just as swimmingly bitching as it could possibly be, then you'll know that Time Warrior ain't holding it against me, man. You know. But I doubt it. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thanks a lot, Matt. Margaret Gray here. Bud Dickman here. Robert Leonard here. And me here. And you there. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. As I say, 7 o'clock Pacific. And like I say, if we are online with our video cast, then Time Warner, you've proven yourself at least to that level with me. And by the way, that won't be all that I'm going to be expecting from you guys.
Well, what else do you want? Or don't say it.
That's what she said.